The 88th Academy Awards are Sunday night, so Peggy Siegel can finally relax. There are over 7,000 Academy voters who determine who gets an Oscar, and Peggy's been trying to get all of them to lunch to meet her clients, the contenders. She is a power broker, a film publicist and entertainment event planner, a dog-eat-dog world. She specializes in Oscar campaigns. This year alone, working to get Oscar votes for The Revenant, The Big Short, Spotlight, The Danish Girl, and Brooklyn, among other films. She's been a main fixture in the Hollywood scene for decades from her perch in New York. You may have seen the glowing profile of her in the New York Times. President Obama doesn't get as much ink. Peggy, welcome to Here Now.
Thank you so much for having me on the program.
That was quite an article, don't you think? Page after page.
Well, the reporter sent me an email, and first I was horrified because you're not supposed to do publicity on these Oscar campaigns, and I thought, oh my God, I'll never work again. And I ignored him for about a month, and then my friend Beth Siniak, who does publicity for Graydon, said he's really a nice guy. He had done a piece on Graydon.
By Graydon, you mean?
Graydon Carter, the editor. Then I threw in the towel, and then for 3 months I romanced him. I invited him to everything. I gave him my best lines. At the end, I said, can I please come into the office and write this piece with you?
Well, that's how it seemed, by the way. You had him in your thrall, as you do. So many people, I mean, that's your job. You schmooze people and do it with incredible science, almost. So talk about, for instance, a luncheon you might put together for The Revenant. How would you plan something?
Well, there are very strict rules in the Academy on what you can do and what you can't do. And during the campaign, from approximately September to January, you are allowed to have a breakfast, a brunch, a lunch, a tea, a dinner, whatever. But you must show the film in conjunction with this event. And I try to cast the event as something that's indicative or reflective to what's on the screen. For example, if we're doing The Revenant, obviously we're not going to go into the woods and have a picnic. In a case like that, when you have Leo DiCaprio, who's probably the biggest star in the world right now and absolutely going to win the Oscar on Sunday night, you have to find out what his schedule is and if, in fact, he will attend, which, of course, he did. And then I decided to do it at Larry Gagosian's restaurant called Capamasa. And Larry is a gallerist. He has 14 art galleries around the world, and Leo is a collector. And it was someplace where Leo would feel comfortable, and it was a little offbeat. And we had friends of his attend. Sting came and some other people that he's very comfortable with. And we invited some Academy members and some media elite, and we have a panel. We have a panel discussion.
You get to do some of the best dinner parties several times a day because you do many of these events. But I just want to underscore, you're not allowed to send out mailers. Filmmakers are not allowed to do phone calls to people. They're not allowed to lobby in that way.
What we do is legal. In the beginning, the Academy sort of looked down on this and wanted to sort of curtail our activities. And then they were convinced that what we do, especially in New York, is we bring the Academy members into a room with the filmmakers. We have this down to a science. Literally, from 12:30 to 1, the talent comes in the room and they mingle with the voters and the media elite. At 1 o'clock, they sit down. At 1:20, the food is brought and they get up in chairs with microphones and they have this sort of conversation with 100 voters in the room. And they say things that they would not normally say, like on the red carpet. Everyone says, what are you wearing? And no one ever asks about the film. So this is an opportunity in a private room with no cameras, no people screaming at them, to seriously have a conversation about the film that they thought they made.
And if someone votes for them, that's nice too. You had Sting come hang out with Leonardo DiCaprio. That probably enticed a few voters there. I'm looking at what you had for the Danish girl. Francois Gillot, is it?
90? Yes.
Yeah.
The 94-year-old ex-mistress of Picasso. And we had a portrait of her hanging on the wall.
Well, who wouldn't want to go to a lunch to possibly sit with the woman who dumped Pablo Picasso? Who wouldn't want to do that?
No, they want to come and sit with the filmmakers.
Well, there's that.
And with the directors and the producers and the actors and the screenwriters. It's almost like coming to class. It's almost like having a college course on this year's best films.
Well, I was going to say, first of all, I'm sure my invitation got lost in the mail.
No, you give me your email and you'll totally be invited. Also, we had one day on January 4th, which was the day after the Christmas holiday, we had 5 events in one day, which is our personal best. And we do try, like, for example, if we're doing a lunch for Spotlight, we might go to the Harvard Club because obviously Spotlight took place in Boston, mm-hmm. and we would get Tom Brokaw to co-host it and get Morley Safer and David Weston and all these newsmen to come and to do a panel.
There's some rarefied air here. For The Son of Saul, the Holocaust film, the incredible Hungarian Holocaust film, for that...
Elie Wiesel.
You had Elie Wiesel come. I mean, this is some rarefied air.
Doesn't get any better than Elie Wiesel at Son of Saul. I've been doing this a long time, so I'm no longer starstruck, and I'm no longer frightened of the responsibility because I sort of go on automatic. I start the year at the Cannes Film Festival seeing these films as early as possible, and then I'll go on to maybe the Venice Film Festival or definitely Telluride in Toronto. And I've worked with all these directors now. I've been doing this for about 30 years, and I know their work, and I know their personalities, and they trust me. And once I see the film, I send them an email about what I think of the film, what I think they tried to do, and they respond to that, and they appreciate that as well.
Well, you know, people call you pushy.
No, people don't call me pushy. There's an obnoxious journalist named Richard Johnson who used to work on Page Six. He's been demoted to having his own column a few pages back from Page Six, and he has always had it in for me. And so he has branded me with that. I mean, you don't call heads of studios pushy. Mm-hmm. They work their whole life to get there. And as a woman, to call me pushy, it's hilarious. Hilarious. I mean, I am a workaholic. There's nothing wrong with that.
How
I
would
work
you,
7 days a week.
Well, how else would you characterize yourself?
Driven.
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 Yeah.
Focused, driven, serious, have the utmost respect for these filmmakers and take them and their work very seriously. You want to label that pushy? Go ahead.
Well, and talk a little bit about where your sense of yourself might have come from. I was fascinated. I mean, this is a star-drenched article, but then we land on your telling of your mom.
My grandfather came from Warsaw, Poland, to America as a stowaway in a boat in 1905 and went to a factory to make light bulbs. He worked for Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison was anti-Semitic. Thomas Edison had the patent on light bulbs. Within months, my grandfather was manufacturing illegally in Brooklyn with his pals and driving around in a Model T Ford taking orders around the country for his own light bulbs.
I smell movie.
It's a movie. It's mm-hmm. a movie. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my father eventually went into the business and my uncle, and I was always very proud of this. Our life was parallel with the American dream. So I was 12 years old. We were living in Teaneck, New Jersey. My mother decided to send my brother to private school and not me. And I just couldn't figure this out. When my mother was 84 years old and I was still angry at her, she dragged me into a shrink's office and I said to her, I'm being prepared to forgive her. I said, did Daddy not have enough money to send us both to private school? And she said, oh, no, darling, that wasn't the issue. It just wasn't that important. Hmm. So in the 50s and the 60s, obviously the importance was to educate the male, educate the son, not the daughter. The daughter happened to be firstborn and really the smart one. Hmm. And people say, and I agree, that that humiliation fueled me my entire life, fueled my ambition. And then to this day, when people say, where'd you go to school? I just, you know, die of embarrassment.
Oh. Well, you have nothing to be embarrassed about with what you've achieved. You own New York.
Well, you're very sweet to say that, but yeah. I work very, very hard. And you can ask any of these filmmakers. I really support their work tremendously.
Well, Peggy Siegel, event planner, publicist, PR guru. And
self-educated.
Self-educated. Self-made woman. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.